This lecture is copyrighted by Yogacharya Mildred Hamilton in the year 1978.
I would like to read to you this evening a letter from the Letters of the Scattered Brotherhood. Be like a child. Look at thy 2 feet and say, Lord, walk these for me. Talk to him as thy friend and nurse. Be in sweet common friendship with him. Call him in thy bath, in thy daily tasks, in thy going from one room to another. Say, nay, I will not go alone. Come, be thou with me. Lead thou the way. Behold, he will answer then, and come running like laughter and golden hope into thy heart. And with understanding love will he walk with thee from room to room. And too he will stand beside thee when thou facest thy friends and visitors. And he will place a hand in thine, and will watch thy heart and the issues therefrom, so that thou canst talk in perfect safety, knowing what thy word will be, that thy word will be food and drink and life to all in thy presence. For thou hast him all to thyself. He is thine forever. Do not puzzle how he can see thy 2 feet when there are millions of feet. That is too much for thine understanding. Enough that it is the truth that he hath never failed to come when called, and that he will come as thou dost want him. He is to be sought through the refinements of the heart. Go then and ask him to rest thee, to heal thy complaints, and to fill thee with the strong virtue required. He will manifest, he never faileth. He is thy Savior and sweet comforter. So go into thy immediate and personal life with him, for thy very own, with thy hand in his. Let him smooth thy pillow, smooth thy blanket, and in deep, loosened sleep, let him teach thee that the life immortal, perfect divine sonship with him can be known in all its fullness by such a simple way as this childlike invitation to him, the eternal guest. And Sir Thomas Browne has said, be able to be alone. Lose not the advantage of solitude, but delight to be alone and single with omnipresency. Life is a pure flame, and we live by an invisible sun within us. Before I forget, I want to remind you this evening that we are having services on Good Friday evening, meditation from 8 until 9:30. I think that this is a day that we should all honor, come together, and pray and meditate on the true meaning of what the Christ has done for us. Our Bible chapter this evening is from chapter 26, beginning with verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Tomorrow is Holy Thursday, and we have Good Friday. And then we have the blessed day of Easter, which we are going to celebrate, have a baptism, a service, and then our brunch afterwards as we all come together rejoicing and in the fellowship of Christ. This is a week of solemn preparation. It is very, very interesting to read the Bible and to recognize that everything that is said in there actually happens, but in a much deeper way, a truthful way, than what we have been taught to believe. And it happens to every single individual as that one comes to the place, to the time, when they are ready to surrender themselves and all that they have at the feet of the Lord. Perhaps you have been worshiping God for many, many years, attending church. Maybe you have gone from one faith to another. Maybe you have progressed from one idea of truth to a greater understanding of truth. But the time comes, you see, when the Orthodox churches can no longer satisfy you because you want to know the answers to so many truths that have not been given to you. Perhaps you start to have high spiritual experiences and you don't know exactly what is happening to you. You don't know that having reached the point of total devotion, total dedication, total love for the Lord, that He is now ready to lift you up, to put you through whatever is necessary in order that you may realize your oneness with Him. As we have said many, many times, to pick up your cross and follow the Christ in order that you may be His disciple means to pick up your own body, which is in the form of a cross, to emulate Christ in every respect, even unto death. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean the death of the body, but it means the death of the human ego, the humanness in us. All over the Christian kingdom, this week is being observed. And when Good Friday comes, many will feel deeply within themselves that Jesus, the Son of Man, was crucified on a wooden cross 2,000 years ago in order that He might save all mankind from sin. Now, the true meaning of this is that when that time comes for each and every man, the Christ who is eternally within him, the Savior, the Son of Man, must be crucified. He must give up his humanness in order that he become heir with Christ, the Son of God, even as Christ himself did. Are we not all sons of God, having the same one Father? When this happens, there are very definite things which start to happen within the consciousness, within the body. And it seems as though you are indeed walking a very strange way, a very strange path, because you are caught up between the two thieves on your cross. One, the magnetic force within yourself, wanting to take you to paradise with the Christ within you, and the other, the opposing force, trying to keep you from realizing your oneness with God. This is a very difficult time to go through, I know, because believe me, I went through it in no uncertain terms 20 years ago. Well, it's 21 years ago now. I found the truth of what it says in the scriptures because this spiritual fever, this spiritual fire burned within my being so tremendously that it was like a fire that I had never experienced before. And they rubbed this ointment in my head in order to take down this fever because it's a cooling agent. I understand perfectly what Jesus said when he spoke about Mary's anointing his head with oil. And when those who would criticize him told him that the oil was expensive, that he should have sold it and given it to the poor, he said the truth when he said that the poor is always with us. But he would not always be with them. And so this must be a good deed, and her name is mentioned even unto this day. So he started on this road, this strange journey, which every soul must take at one time or another. He may think that by accepting Jesus as his Savior, that that is all that is necessary, that he will be saved from sin. But this is not true, because God realization is the pearl of great price, and each and every man must pay that price. It is the Savior, or the humanness within himself, that must be crucified in order that the divine may be born, may be risen up. So this time of purification takes place, and the whole world is in a different state of consciousness to the individual who is going through such an experience. Nothing seems real, because you're being caught up and drawn between these two forces. Now, in the second part of this particular chapter, we find that Judas went to the ones who wanted to get rid of Christ and agreed to turn him over to them for 30 pieces of silver. And we know that Jesus himself said that the Bible was written in parables. What are these 30 pieces of silver represent? We know that we have three bodily jars: the idea body, the astral or the electrical body, which controls the nervous system, and lastly, the gross or the physical body. Now, there are 10 subtle qualities of the mind which govern these three bodily jars. And everything that we have ever enjoyed in the senses is contained in the remembrance and the consciousness that controls this body. And so the individual soul, in a sense, sells out the Son of Man for the knowledge or the 10 qualities that are connected with and which govern these three bodily jars, and 10 times 3 makes 30 pieces of silver for the knowledge. And in order to do this, in order to have the knowledge of what really happens within yourself, you must go through this crucifixion of the human ego, of the Savior within yourself. And he himself knew that he was destined to go through this tremendous experience, because did he not say, "Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from my lips, but it was but for this hour that I came." He knew that the Son of Man must be crucified in order that the whole being might be purified, that the end of the world and the worldly consciousness might come within. Because when you come to that state, the world ceases to exist for you. Your love for God, your devotion for God, your worship of God is so great that you have no desire but to pick up your own cross and to follow this Christ which you have worshipped with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul, and lay yourself in full surrender at his feet, even to die for him if necessary. This state of consciousness must come. You see, man does everything that he can possibly think of to do in order to realize his oneness with God when he is truly lifted up into the Spirit, when he has gone beyond all isms, all denominations, all separations in God, and his desire is for oneness with God alone. Don't forget that man initiated religion, but God made man in his image and likeness. And so this is the path of the eternal Christ, who dwells within each form which God made, and which is in every atom of space, every bit of consciousness which keeps this universe running in its present orbit. Everything. There is no place where the Christ is not. No matter where you look, what individual, what object, whatever form of life, there he is. Because you see, he is omnipresent, he is omnipotent, and he is omniscient, which means that he alone exists. There is none else but he. So we take this week, and we have special services. We go on fast, and this is for the purpose of purifying not only our bodies, but our minds, our souls, because we are so caught up in the things of the senses. Every moment, every day of our lives, that we put these things before we put before God. And this is not right. Always God should occupy the uppermost part of our lives. He is the head. He is that light that is within us. That light bearer who shows us the way every single moment. What to do, what not to do. I know what this experience of the mystical crucifixion is, believe me, because the price that I paid was beyond human description. My love for God was so great that I loved Him more than I loved myself. And I was willing to give my life for Him. And I did. I gave my human life. I went through all of the experiences that it describes in St. Matthew there. And I found the inner meaning of each and every part of it. I found the meaning of what it meant when Jesus said to Peter that he would betray him 3 times before the cock crows. Because you see, Peter was a rock. He represents the truth. And so he would have to deny the Savior who is the Son of Man, because that one in truth does not exist. It is pure illusion. It is that which keeps you from the conscious knowledge of your oneness with God. And so 3 different times, as the consciousness was released from each one of the 3 bodily jars, Peter was heard to deny that he knew Jesus the Christ, because he had to speak the truth, because there's only God. There's only one. There isn't 2 in this world. Otherwise, God could not have created it, and nothing was created except by Him. So there is nothing in this whole wide world but God. So Peter knew this, and so he had to deny the existence of duality. But we are coming to that special time, that special season, when the 2 are going to become 1. And won't this be a wonderful thing? When the whole world realizes their oneness with God, every single individual in it picks up their cross in order to follow the Christ and become 1 with Him in God. It is coming because people are reaching out more and more for the truth. They are asking questions. Who is God? What is God? Where is heaven? And constantly, instead of looking for the second coming of the Christ out of the heaven outside of ourselves, we will remember that He said that God and the kingdom of heaven are to be found only within. And therefore, the Christ will come a second time in the cloud of heaven of your own consciousness, when you have so purified yourself to receive Him. Where else can He come from, if what the Christ said be true? So this idea of purification, of meditation, must go on constantly, continually, until finally you are lifted up into the bliss of His eternal presence. Do you know what it means to meditate so deeply, to forget the things of the world so greatly that nothing but God and the Christ exists for you? The time and space, everything around you disappears, and you are left there with God alone. You see the great light of your own soul. You come face to face with Christ within yourself, and you feel that glory. You feel that power. You feel that great love, and you realize that the Son of Man's love for God must have been very great indeed, to have given up His separate existence in order to show you, His beloved child, what it means to really glorify the Christ within yourself. Every moment of our lives should be spent in the consciousness of Him. Every thought, every word, every action should be directed to Him alone. Do you think that that puts you in a class by yourself so that you cannot enjoy the things of the world? This is not true, because God is the world. And the world is God, and every single thing in it. It means that you must not be attached to it nor possessed by it, but that rather, being a free soul, you must let God take over your life. That every thought you know comes from Him. That the power to act comes from Him. The power to speak comes from Him. And when all of these 3 are impregnated with His consciousness, His power alone, then whatever goes forth from you is of Him. And you find the answers to all of your questions, to all of your problems, to all of your needs, through this constant communion with Him. You're going to the sanctuary of your own soul, and you close the door very tightly so that you shut out the things of time and space. It is a very difficult thing to learn to concentrate. There are many who pray out loud. There are many who are constantly praising the Lord, and this is good. But really, to communicate with Him, to contact Him, is in your secret closet, in the stillness of your own soul. Because in the 46th Psalm, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Only through the stillness that you create within your own being are you able to hear the voice of God. Otherwise, His voice is crowded out by the things of the senses. The noises from outside come in. The thoughts are there in minions to come and to try to distract you. But the true devotee of God is determined, and he never gives up. He keeps on trying and trying and trying. His vision is of God alone through Christ, and he visualizes this Christ. He thinks of himself, because this is the way he has been taught, that he is outside of himself. But as it says in the scriptures, he is the firstborn of every creature, not just one, but every single creature. He is everywhere equally present, otherwise he would not be omnipresent. This is the most tremendous, the most exciting, the most beautiful journey in the world. It is wrought with pain and suffering in some instances, and some of it is very great. But nevertheless, it is all worthwhile, because through the suffering, you see, through the pain comes purification. Through this suffering and through this pain, you are lifted up beyond duality into the consciousness of your oneness with Him. And is it not worth every single little tiny bit that you have to pay? Is it not worth even the greatest price, which is to give up your own individuality, your own life for Christ alone, to follow Him, to emulate Him, to worship Him, to serve Him in every form that you meet? This is truly the brotherhood of man. How can you hope to call yourself a Christian, or in truth a Christian, a true follower of Christ, if you do not obey all of His commandments, if you do not see Him in the littlest child, in the greatest sinner, because He is everywhere? And if we will only take the trouble, the time, to look for God in each individual and to give love to that one, we will find that the results are beyond our wildest dreams, because people respond to love, well, they will respond to nothing else. It is very difficult to go through these spiritual experiences sometimes, because something is happening and you've never been told about it in the real way. And it happens inside of yourself. Many, many strange things start to happen. And they are well known all over the world. There are books and books and books written about the experiences of the various saints, what they have had to go through, their trials, their tribulations. And they have gone willingly, like an army to God. And even when one goes, just think what that one does to bring inspiration, to bring the example to all of those who would follow afterwards. You're never going to get anybody to follow the Christ if there is constant criticism, if there is constant judgment of every church, of every religion. This is not so, because God is in every church and in every religion equally. Because He is in every man, and each man chooses that which his consciousness is able and ready to receive. He cannot do anything else. So rather than take him away from where he is, help him where he is. Help him to understand what he is being taught, but tell him the truth. Make him realize in truth that God and the Christ are within himself. That this, in truth, as he said, is the temple of the living God. And this temple is your church, and he is the head of it. So that wherever you go, you may take your temple, you may kneel down within that temple and worship him, your Lord. How beautiful, how wonderful he is. He gives us our food. He gives us the wherewithal to have our clothes. He hangs the sun, the moon, the stars in the sky to light our world. He brings the darkness in order to give us rest. He sends the rain so that all of the things that the earth may grow so that we may have the food necessary to keep us there, and all but for one purpose, just one alone. Not that we should come just to enjoy the things of our senses, our own personal life, but rather that we have come for one reason alone, and that is to discover Him within ourselves, for union with Him. It is a self-revelation, a self-realization, a realization of what you truly are in God. And when you come to that moment, you are lifted up into the ecstasy of God. And it so far transcends anything you could possibly imagine, that there are no words to describe it. You can only experience it. People may scoff. They may say that what you say is not true, but they do not know, because they themselves have not yet come to that grade of school where they are ready to graduate and get their master's degrees. They are not willing to go on the great adventure beyond all things known to them in order that they might discover a new territory, a new land, a new state of consciousness, where they see everything that is as being beautiful in Him. I told you about the Mother Teresa in Calcutta on Sunday, and a book was written about her entitled Something Beautiful for God. Isn't that a wonderful title? When you can really love God and Christ so much that you are willing to give every moment of your life in service to Him, to go out and take care of the poor, the wounded, those that need help who are suffering, no matter in what form, because people suffer not only physically, they suffer not only from hunger of the body, but they suffer from hunger of the spirit, of the emotions. They hunger for love, and they will only find true love when they have transcended all desire for human love, and they find that supreme love of God. This is truth of the first order. When you go out and you help people physically, mentally, emotionally, then you contribute to their spiritual welfare. Because of the love you give them, you inspire them to seek love. And God is love. Every bit of it, He is love. When you can live your life that way, your life is the most tremendous expression of divinity that you can possibly imagine. And when you have given your own life for Christ, then and then alone, do you know what living truly means? Because you have not lived before. You have truly been the walking dead, because you've been living in the world of your senses. It is only when you are lifted up and you see that great light of your soul, where no matter where you look, you see Him, that you truly know what life is all about. You find that it is not only exciting, a much greater adventure than anything you ever dreamed of, but it is blissful, it is peaceful, it is all supply, all beauty, all power, all everything that you ever dreamed of. And it is encompassed within your own body, because it is not you, the little self then, that dwells in that body, but because you have given yourself in full measure to Him, it is He alone who is the dweller in your temple. It is He who walks the earth, and His light spreads before Him, lighting the way for many. There is no more satisfying, no more fulfilling service in this world than to serve the Christ, to die along with Him to your little self, in order that you may realize Him as your greater self. I and my Father are one, said He. He who has seen me has seen the Father. And we are all made in the image and likeness of God. So He who has seen each and every one of us has seen the Father, but not all are expressing the fullness of His glory. And these are the ones that we reach out to. These are the ones that we can also learn from, because nobody can play God. No one. Because He's equally present everywhere. Nobody can. It is He, our Father, who is the supreme doer, the supreme physician, the supreme supplier, the supreme everything of our lives. But we can make ourselves one, a humble one, marching in His army, all shoulder to shoulder, spreading the earth with his name, his fame, and his glory. So let us this week meditate more. Let us go into deep communion with him. Feel the oneness, his blissful presence. And I promise you that you will want more and more this quiet time with him. You will look forward to this special time, either in the morning or in the evening. And certainly we should remember him the first thing upon waking and the last thing at night before we go to sleep, and all the times in between, because without him, we are nothing. Absolutely nothing. So find the fullness of God within yourself through prayer, through meditation, through doing good deeds, through picking up your cross and following him in order that you might be his disciple alone. Now let us pray. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet. And surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am he. O Heavenly Father. Open my eyes that I may see thy face. Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere. Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love. O Heavenly Father, may thy love shine forever. Upon the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. And bring them to thee. Richest blessings upon you all and reveal to you within your own body temple his infinite glory.
Understanding love will he walk with thee from room to room. And too, he will stand beside thee when thou facest thy friends and visitors. And he will place a hand in thine, and will watch thy heart, and the issues therefrom, so thou canst talk in perfect safety, knowing what thy word will be, that thy word will be food and drink and life to all in thy presence. For thou hast him all to thyself. He is thine forever. Do not puzzle how he can see thy 2 feet, when there are millions of feet. That is too much for thine understanding. Enough that it is the truth that he hath never failed to come when called, and that he will come as thou dost want him. He is to be sought through the refinements of the heart. Go then and ask him to rest thee, to heal.